Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is the Gospel just read, taken from St. John chapter 16. Ask any craftsman, and they will tell you how much work and time it takes to ply their trade. Hours of labor, calluses on both the body and the mind. It doesn't matter if the trade is woodworking or cars or computer programming. The bottom line is it takes time and work. Ask any creative type and they will tell you much the same. Music, art, dance, writing, the answer is still there. There is no replacing real hard work. Ask our musicians who prepare our services week after week, and they'll tell you. Now, the same could be said for sports, for war, for good things or evil, for small acts of great care, and large sweeping works of history. But perhaps we should use the example that Jesus gives of the ultimate creative endeavor. Motherhood. In the midst of it, motherhood is, well, it's a lot of painful work and time. Especially the act of birthing a child. There is, as Jesus put it, much sorrow in giving birth. It hurts. But there is, at the end of it, joy that a life has been brought into the world. Paul would later use this same analogy even to say that all of creation is in the pains of childbirth, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. So if this is the picture, childbirth, our journey to heaven, then why is it that we are surprised when the Christian life is painful and fraught with peril? That is the question our risen Lord puts before us today. We are strange, fickle creatures when it comes to matters of faith and life. It is easy to look down upon others as lacking wisdom or understanding because they have not paid their dues. Yet none of us, I don't think, would truly claim, along with St. Paul, that we rejoice in our sufferings. Why is it that we are so inconsistent when it comes to the Christian life? We are Christians, yet we're shocked when we suffer. We believe in the resurrection of the dead and eternal life, and yet so often we live our lives as if God did not matter, and as if we mattered most. Now the answer, of course, is sin. Our sinful nature always wants things now. We always want things when we want it, the way we want it, and exactly how we want it. So this talk of Jesus this morning about a little while, it actually is a bit shocking to our system. When you're in the midst of heartache and sorrow, your world becomes very small. Everything centers around your hurts. I guarantee you, if you smash your finger in a hammer, everything hurts. You can hardly believe that there is anything beyond what you are feeling right at that moment. It's hard to even imagine that others suffer as you do. I think that's the nature of suffering and hardship, and why, perhaps, it is such a trial for us Christians. So what Jesus does for us this morning is give us a little lesson in time management. Now, I'm not talking about time management like the world thinks of it. In the world, Managing time really comes down to making every instant count for the most that it possibly can. To the world, because time is short, everything has to happen right away. Everything must be squeezed and have that little last bit of energy sucked out of it. But it is not so in the kingdom of God. What Jesus does is point to this simple, beautiful reality that all things are in God's hands, even time itself. What may feel like an eternity here is, in the scale of things, a little while. Your hardship is as nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed to the sons and daughters of the King, and that is you. And so that is the miracle of what our Lord gives to you this day. He gives you the gift of time. Now, I don't mean that he's going to give you an extra hour in the day to dedicate to the hamster wheel of life as we know it. What Jesus is saying is that you don't have to be on the wheel at all. He is saying that there is a new heaven and a new earth that is coming. And so Jesus holds up this great and glorious picture of what will happen to time itself. Behold, he says, I am making all things new. So what does this mean for you here and now, dearly baptized? It means this. Jesus has forgiven you all your sins and drawn you into his loving embrace. Your old way of life, the way of sorrow, that means trying to eke out a meager existence where you can barely cling to what you have, far less get ahead, that way is coming to an end. For God now dwells with his people, and God himself will wipe away every tear from your eye, and even that greatest time enemy of all, death itself. For death has been destroyed in Jesus' death and resurrection. It is done, he says. And he who is seated on the throne says, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. One who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Revelation 21. This is what is going on at the altar of God, time after time, week after week. It is as if heaven itself were opened, and we get a glimpse into the eternal portal of life with God. Here in this sacrament, time is consumed and everything is one great eternal now. Now God dwells with his people. Now you are at peace with God, for God is at peace with you. Now Jesus delivers you his very body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Now the new song of salvation rings forth in all the world. So come, you who are wearied by the changes and chances of life, come to the table. Come, you who time seems to have crushed under its weight, for God will make all things new. Come, for in a little while, all of this will be over. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth revealed once and for all. Come, for it is all for you. Come, for God makes all things new. Believe it for Jesus' sake. Amen.